And welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland sitting in today for Carl Gerke, who is away this week. And it is Wednesday, so that means it is time for the Dakota Political Junkies. And joining me today are John Hunter, the publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. John, thanks for taking time out of your day and coming on the program.
Good morning, Kara.
And Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, thanks for being with us as well.
Hi, Kara. Glad to be here.
So let's start first. Yesterday was primary election day in some states, and Eric Cantor, does his loss in Virginia make it possible, do you think, for Kristi Noem to climb the Republican leadership ladder, that is, presuming she's reelected?
I'm not sure that will. You know, there's certainly a lot of Republicans in the House, and I think, and there may be some other changes too by the time the general election comes around. So it's possible, I think, but I think it's still a ways to go before Kristi Noem makes it into serious leadership consideration.
Okay, Roger, your thoughts?
Well, there's definitely an opening there now, and. I think it's that faction of the Republican Party, the harder right side, which Kristi belongs to, that will probably see more seats at the table now, as the more moderate mainstream Republicans are looking over their shoulder a little bit after this election.
Okay, so we just heard in the newscast about the effort to turn the bison into a national mammal. Any idea what that's all about?
I had not heard about that, but I'm all for it. I'm all for it. It's about time.
John, do you know anything?
Yes. Well, our congressional delegation, of course, is in favor of that it would be popular for the Midwest and so forth, our part of the country. These kinds of things are symbolic. They sometimes distract the attention a little bit away from important issues, whether it's national security or the economy or those kinds of things. But from a South Dakotan standpoint, I think it would be all positive if that were to take place.
But it begs the question, should they not focus attention on more pressing, more important matters?
Well, maybe they can find something they agree on. I mean, that's part of the challenge of today's Congress is they can't on most of these tough issues they can't agree on almost anything. So I think sometimes it's worthwhile maybe to discuss other issues and at least open up dialogues between the parties.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think who can be against the bison? You know, although we probably have a group of Southern lawmakers now who want it to be the wild boar or something. it'll be interesting to watch.
Somebody will have an opinion, I'm sure. Kristi Noem has talked a little bit about veterans access, the Veterans Access to Care Act, and the House passed that this week. And the Senate is considering similar legislation. Senator Thune talked a little bit about some numbers, and I believe some South Dakota facilities had some of the longest wait times. That came out today as well.
Well, it did appear to be worse than first thought, at least in South Dakota. We knew, Phoenix and others were in perhaps the worst condition, but Representative Noem accurately said this is a kind of a first step, and I think that's the most important. This is a huge problem. It's nationwide. It will take years and millions of dollars to solve. Going in the right direction is important, but boy, that is a long ways to go. But Congress really has to fund this thing too. I don't think you can kind of wish these long waits away, or say certainly the cover up was a scandal, but the long waits, were systemic, I think, and so there is a lot of work to be done yet. Perhaps this is a good first step.
So, what exactly though does the act do?
Well, what they passed today is just the first step. They have said that if you live more than 40 miles away from a VA facility, or if you have to wait more than 14 days for an appointment, you can go to a non-VA facility, and the VA will cover the cost of that, which is a good first step, but it's certainly not going to solve any of the problems in the VA system. But you have to start somewhere, and this is it.
We had a call from a listener that points us to a survey listing the most corrupt states, violations, convictions of federal corruption laws. South Dakota ranks number 8 on the list.
I'm not familiar with that, so I'm not sure I can help much on that. It really kind of depends on how you define corruption and the severity of those things. I think they probably has to do also with action taken that is not open to the public, and both Roger and I certainly are advocates of transparency in government, but I'm not aware of the poll that would rank South Dakota 8th in that.
You know what we'll do? No, go ahead.
I've seen similar polls to this, and for some reason South Dakota is always ranked fairly highly in these things, but I think these kind of polls, and John's right, you know, we're all for open government and honest government, but I think it, depending on what exactly they're measuring and how they're measuring it and how they're interpreting data, I think just because, and about open meetings, just because a meeting is closed doesn't necessarily make it that they're doing something corrupt.
Yes, we want these
meetings open, but to say that because something wasn't done in public that some of the whole state is corrupt, I think is a leap. So to put us in the top 10, I would take that poll with a grain of salt.
Well, what I'll do is we'll email the link around and email it to Carl, and perhaps follow up a little bit more on it next Wednesday as well.
Good idea.
So let's move on down our list. Former embattled U.S. Senate candidate Annette Bosworth has posted another video and Tuesday said that her supporters will not be disappointed when all of the facts are out, which is really not a new message coming from her.
No, it's certainly not. And I think when you get 6% of the vote in a primary election, your number of supporters is not all that great, so you don't have very many people to convince. But it'll be interesting to see exactly what her defense is in all this. I mean, she's admitted she signed the petitions that she did not witness them being filled out. So curious to find out what she's going to say.
Well, the defense really is distraction, you know, trying to focus on other things. The video yesterday, you know, kind of said, you know, my friends support me. You know, I went to church. There are a lot of things you don't know about this. The previous press conference that she had, you know, really focused on the kind of the vendetta that Marty Jackley is out to get me, and he wants to prevent me from seeing my kids graduate from high school. And her ally there said, you know, her patients love her. So, I mean, these are all kind of away from the charge, really, is that she signed these documents that said, I, under oath, was in the physical presence of these people when they signed. And so I think each of these videos or press conferences or postings or whatever they are to try to focus the issue on something else, because I think it's probably crystal clear that there was perjury in this case and that she's guilty of that. So we don't know what the other things come out, but I don't think they're exactly aligned with the charges that she's facing.
Well, and there's some internet chatter going around too, wondering why her husband isn't being charged because he signed some too. And he was with her out of the country at the same time.
Well, yes, and frankly, Annette has made this so public herself. We don't really even haven't followed the Clayton Walker charges either, which are kind of, you know, the same time, same severity, that kind of thing. But Dr. Bosworth is going to the public so frequently and loudly that I think that's where all the focus has been.
And I don't think Clayton Walker has surrendered himself, has he?
Well, that I don't know. He didn't immediately, but no. I don't know the status of that.
If he has or not. So do either of you know anything about the documentary crew that is following her, how long it's been, and what does she stand to gain or lose?
I just read about this today, and the only thing that I know about it is that this was begun before all of her legal problems showed up, so they're not focusing on that.
Are we going to see a reality show, Roger?
I don't know if reality and this campaign would go hand in hand, but it'll probably be fun.
Well, let's move on to a new poll, a new Senate poll, Rasmussen poll over the weekend, showing South Dakota's U.S. Senate race. Mike Rounds holds about a 15-point lead, but he's still below 50%. At 44%, Rick Weiland has 29%, and 18% for Larry Pressler.
Yeah, I hope they're not using the same pollster that Eric Cantor used. I think his poll said he was up about 68%. But the results of this poll are pretty, I don't think they're all that surprising, except maybe the amount of attention that Pressler is getting. But,
right.
Still not enough, I don't think, to make a big splash in the general election. I think these numbers will make Rounds not overly confident, but I don't think there's anything that he's getting too worried about at this point.
Well, so who does it show? I mean, is Larry Pressler, who are his supporters?
Well, he was a very popular candidate, mm-hmm. Kara, as, yep. He's elected a number of times, both to the House and Senate, and then there's been this gap since 96. He did run for the House when former Governor Janklow won that nomination, so he lost in that one. But you'd have to maybe surmise that many of the his supporters now were supporters then, which probably would make, not young voters. On the other hand, to get 17 or 18% in a four-way poll, I think you can't say that's just entirely one demographic either. So I think it's a little, it does make it a three-person race. I don't think Gordon Howey had enough of a showing in this probably to indicate that he's part of the mix. But I think all three candidates, and I'm hoping that all three will campaign hard and get out and talk to people.
Well, so I'm really wondering, though, if Pressler can help candidates win or lose, and if it's a factor, if he's, taken votes away from a Rick Weiland or even Mike Rounds.
A lot of people have been saying that he's probably taking votes away from them equally. He was a Republican his entire career, so I think a lot of those supporters are probably Republicans, but he's probably also getting some Democratic support from people who think that maybe Rick Weiland is a little too liberal.
Okay. So we continue. I mean, how accurate are our early released polls, would you say? We're going to see the numbers go up and down throughout the summer and fall?
Well, I tend not to put a lot of stock in them, even as it gets closer. Different methodologies, and still it's relatively small sample size. I know they've used scientific methods to make them more accurate, but it's really early. And, Larry Pressler didn't have a primary that, and frankly, Rick Weiland hadn't either, although he's been campaigning much more publicly during the primary season. So I think this summer will tell a lot, and I would expect those numbers to change, maybe even dramatically.
Okay. And some talk going on about power tech. I have it open. I just have to go there. Hang on just a second. And what some of the candidates are thinking about the power tech uranium and to use that. Gordon Howey supports it. Mike Rounds supports it. Rick Weiland opposes big money. Those kinds of things. Is this going to be a factor in the race?
Well, for a little background on this is the PowerTech, the company wants to mine uranium in the Black Hills using an injection extraction method, which is a little like how they're getting oil out of the North Dakota fields with fracking. And the way the politicians are coming down on it, it was no surprise. The Democrats violently opposed to it. The Republicans say, let's go for it. The thing is that there's no state oversight involved in this. The legislature passed a bill to take enforcement away from our state Department of Energy and Natural Resources. So it's the federal government that's going to be overseeing all this.
I also don't think that it'll be much of a part of this race. Yes, you could probably predict how each of the candidates would stand on this, but I don't think that will be the main issue that will be focused through the campaign.
Okay, well, I want to thank you both for taking time and time out of a vacation, John Hunter, for joining the program. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Kara.